Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Shadow. I appreciate smart. But you gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
Right about now, I know y'all digging this, so just turn up your radio wherever you at. We about to bring it.
Let's say thanks a lot for joining me here on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show, another Monday night.
All right, everybody.
This jack of ball, man.
You want to play a game? Okay. How can I win?
Game Strong. We here, and we're here to go ahead and impact communities and impact lives.
I'm too strong. Too strong. Break the table tonight.
Guys, welcome back, everybody, to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. It's me, your host, Big Trey.
I'm too strong.
See, that's the difference between us. You think we're fighting, and I think we're finally talking.
If you got questions, or you just want to give me a shout out, I'll send them along.
You want to play a game? Okay.
Giving you the latest in sports, the hottest people out there in your city, in your area, or local.
I'm too strong.
Hey, what's going on? Game Strong World, this is your host, Trey D, here again for another wonderful Monday night. I know everybody's been watching the playoffs, really into them. A lot of good playoff series is going on. For people out there that have hope for the Charlotte Bobcats, keep having that hope. It might just click in. From what I understand, Kemba Walker is trying to do his thing, but unfortunately, they're playing the Heat. And we just hope, even me, I'm a Charlotte fan. I'm making a bold prediction that the Bobcats is going to win tonight. They're going to pull through for my man, Big Al Jefferson, who can't play tonight because he's injured, that they're going to go ahead and take at least one game from the Heat before they go out in style and become the Hornets again. Also, other playoff series that's been going on, man, the Bulls, losing to the Wizards. Wizards been doing their thing. John Wall, Nene's really been doing his thing. You know, unfortunately, he had that one little mishap where he supposedly headbutted Jimmy Butler, but you know how that goes. But before I even forget, my co-host for the evening, she was the special co-host, but she's been here quite some time now, so her special is running now. The lovely TK.
Really, my special is running out? You starting to hate early.
I just want to know, did your team make it to the playoffs this year?
I don't have a team.
Oh, so you're a Cavaliers fan.
No, I'm not a Cavaliers fan. I'm a Paul George fan. That's my husband.
So in other news, the Rockets and the Trailblazers, and I have to really, really, really look at this series. LaMarcus Aldridge is really doing his thing. I mean, going against Dwight Howard on a nightly basis, he's really doing it.
Going against Dwight who?
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Dwight, he didn't sit down. Look who moves he got played out. It ain't that hard for him.
Really.
You said that like he was some real competition.
Dwight Howard's
old. He just sit down.
How is that even dirty yet?
He play like he old. He got two good moves.
You know what?
A and B. That's it.
It's coming.
You mean it's coming? How long he been in the league? How about it's coming?
Look, there's a reason why he went to Houston. He's getting his footwork. His post game has dramatically improved.
And it's still not that great. So what does that tell you?
No, but okay. You're a hater. Bro, I can understand.
I'm just telling the truth.
So you, Dwight Howard is not a superstar big man?
No, not to me. He's just a big man. He's just there.
But he, if he played for the Cleveland Cavaliers, you would take him with open arms.
No. For the last time, I am not a Cleveland fan. Stop being a hater.
It's okay. It's between me and you and all I want for listeners. It's okay to be a Cleveland Cavaliers fan.
I'm sure it is for all those Cleveland fans that are out there. That's great, but I'm not one of them.
Okay.
I'm a Paul George fan. That's it. Where he go, I go. I'm like his little buddy. Remember that commercial? My buddy, wherever I go, he goes. That's how me and Paul George are. That's
Man, another girl. The Spurs in the night.
Hey, it's so real. God.
Pretty much, you know, this is a true basketball fan favorite team.
Good old fashioned basketball.
His whole career. You know, that's a testament to him, but Tony Parker year in and year out. Does he do anything flashy?
But see, that's why he gets overlooked, because now everybody's looking for that running gun, the highlights, you know, all that stuff. So they don't really, they it's easy to overlook him because he's just playing good old fashioned fundamental basketball.
That's it, you know. Pick and roll, and I believe hands down, he is comfortable as the best pick and roll point guard in the game. It's just simple.
But see, most people might not even know what you're talking about right now.
Pick and roll?
They might not even know what you're talking about right
now. You know what? They have to watch this. They have to watch this version of the Mavericks. And the Mavericks, you know, Dirk Nowitzki, another great power forward.
Love him.
One
love
of the
him
best
as well.
Shooting big men who ever played for him.
He'll shoot your eyes out for real.
And quiet as he's kept. And Vince Carter, who we all used to know as half man, half amazing, and we used to say, oh, he's just half man.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what the amazing part is. It's kicking in. Like, he's been a solid contributor. I think one of the best pickups they've gotten this offseason with the acquisition of Monte Ellis. Monte Ellis, one of the most underrated shooting guards in this league. And this is probably the first real team been on where the team is actually decent. They have a chance to go to the playoffs. Year in, year out. He doesn't have to worry about really shouldering a scoring load as he has for all the other teams.
That's true.
You know, he's playing with a legit Hall of Fame. Yeah, I'll go out there and say it. Dirk Nowitzki, he's a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, it's not far-fetched what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, he's a Hall of Fame.
I'm sure he'll earn it by the time his career is over.
Yeah, and you know, he kind of fills out the bucket list of accolades that you have to have in order to be an NBA Hall of Famer. So between the guard play of the Spurs and the Mavericks, Tim Duncan, Dirk Nowitzki, the bench definitely plays a key role into this. It's going to easily go to 7 games. And surprisingly, the Mavericks have the keeping on me. I like to see how that changes as time goes on. Now, the Pacers and the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
For you Hawks fans out there.
The two of you.
Hey, whoa. You know what? The Hawks. You can't pick on the Hawks. This is where the Knicks are supposed to be at.
Well, I told you weeks ago the Knicks weren't going. I told you that.
You know what? I'm not going to even speak on the Knicks thing.
Because I was right, you were wrong. Okay, I get it. It's all right. It's all right. You don't want to talk about it.
They have hope. They have hope. They're going to revamp them. They're going to revamp the franchise.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Okay.
Yeah. They're going to bring in championship caliber people.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And that's going to definitely influence Carmelo's decision.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the teams that Carmelo wanted to go to, and we'll discuss this later on at the show, they had a little bit of turmoil. But back to the Pacers and the Hawks. The Hawks are giving the Pacers a run for their money.
They are. The Pacers weren't ready.
No. And it's just like...
And I think a lot of people are surprised by that.
The Hawks are a good team. You know, the coaching staff from the Hawks, surprisingly, you know, secretly, people don't know, they come from the Spurs. So they brought that championship pedigree over there to the Hawks, and they got a lot of blue-collar guys. It's been a dog fight every night.
Who do you think will win that series? You think the Pacers can come back and get right?
I believe so, because the Pacers have more star power. But if the Pacers lose, I would not be surprised, because their focus was, hey, look, we got to play the Heat. Oh, we're ready for the Heat. Oh, we can't wait to play the Heat.
But they didn't prepare to play nobody else.
They came out the first game, the Heat beat the Bobcats. But Atlanta Hawks whopped them.
They did.
You know,
it was kind of pitiful.
Yeah. And the Hawks are one of those scrappy teams. It's going to be a dogfight every night. Between Al Horford, Paul Millsap, you know, T, you're going to get some type of contribution from somebody. And I just think, as far as the Pacers are concerned, Paul George, great young talent. I'm going to say it again because you're probably looking with the crazy eye because this is your quote-unquote boom or man crush Monday, whatever he is to you. Paul George has a lot of pressure on his shoulder. And he's a star in the league, but until he makes those right plays, I don't think he's ready to be called a superstar yet.
No, I agree. He needs a little bit more work. He has to grow up a little bit, mature his game a little bit. He'll get there. I think he'll get there, but I don't think he's quite there yet.
And you know what? I like the way, and I'm not in for all you Pacers fans out there. Let me explain. Paul George is a great talent. He was a great player. Whoever discovered him, they found this young man from Fresno State and said, yeah, he can be it. But at the time, he always played with another superstar, all-star, Danny Granger. And when Danny Granger went down, he just so happened to elevate this game at the right time.
Timing is everything.
Yeah, and you know what? And I think that's what he's a victim of, just elevating his game at the right time. And now, you know, all of us fans, critics, you know, we put him on his pedestal, like, hey, he's a superstar. He's got to do this. He's got to do that. Superstars have to do superstar things. And if we want to judge
consistently.
Most thing about it is
consistently.
You know, perfect example, we all criticize LeBron James for the unsuperstar-like thing he never accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, and we always... Some LeBron haters just said he's good. If he's a superstar, he's supposed to do superstar things, hit the buzzer-beating shots, come through in the clutch, this, that, and the other. And LeBron James just started doing it more on the consistent basis.
Yeah, he just started being more consistent. And I think Paul George will, too. Another year or two in the league, he'll get it together.
I think so. I say in another year, when he really, another year or two, when it was just like, okay, cool, because they're having a problem with the Hawks. And this is an 8-seed, not taking any away from Atlanta, but just like how the Heat are doing the Bobcats, look, let's hurry up, get these four games early, done, let's go ahead, get some sleep, watch the rest of the playoffs, play 2K, this, that, and the other. The Heat are trying to get rid of the Bobcats this early.
And they're doing a good job of that.
Don't you do that. Bobcats fans still have hope before we could turn it to the Hornets.
Yeah, okay.
But look, I'm telling you, bold prediction of the night, the Bobcats are going to win a game.
I believe that they could win a game. It's possible. It's not like they really haven't been getting blown out. The scores have been pretty close, so it's not unreasonable to think that they won't win a game. But we all know they won't win the series. I mean, that we know. So
it's cool. It's a Bobcats are going to win.
You know what? Bobcats made it to the playoffs. So
that's it.
So congrats to them on that because they've been sorry for a long time.
You know what? I'm not. Don't do a salt like that because you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan.
I'm just being honest.
It's okay.
If you go sit here and say the Bobcats have not been sorry, then you will lie. And you know it.
So it's me too. I don't want to think about that like that song. They just haven't been that.
Okay. Bobcats, ladies and gentlemen, the Bobcats have been sorry. So for them to make it to the playoffs is a big accomplishment. I'm not knocking them. I'm saying that's good. They made it. So at least the playoffs, congrats. It's, you know, that's progress being made from previous years. I'm not hating.
Oh, boy.
Boy, boy, boy. Then, you know, oh, we got the Thunders and Grizzlies. We're definitely tough. Grizzlies always give the Thunder a problem, especially in playoff time, because between Marcus Hall, Zach Randolph, and quiet as is kept, Mike Conley, who's been that underrated point guard, you know, stepping in. It's just people are blaming stuff on Durant, not Durant, Westbrook, or Westbrook is this, Westbrook is that. Kevin Durant ain't been doing all too great either.
Oh, no, not the last game. Especially, he only had 15 points, I think, and he was like 5 for 21.
Yeah. Well, everybody's going to blame it on Westbrook. Granted, I am not a Westbrook fan.
You didn't just look great either. I think he was like 6 for 24.
What's Westbrook? You expect that. Like I said, I'm not a Westbrook fan. But this is probably one of the first games I was saying, I don't blame it on Westbrook. Because he's just Westbrook.
You don't expect that much from him anyway.
I really don't. I don't think he's a point guard. He is just a hyped shooting guard who just said, look, man, you can score. Just put you at the one. In college, he played the two. Undersized two in the league. Why not be a point guard? You got enough handle. You're explosive. Not too many point guards in the league don't guard you. This is where you can make your money at. And he capitalized on it. And you're playing with Kevin Durant. So, of course, anybody that plays with Kevin Durant, you're going to average 6 or 7 or 6 playoffs. You should be averaging a double-double. You're passing it to Kevin Durant.
True.
But,
Durant, he hasn't been playing outstanding. But, I mean, you and people want you to play your best all the time, but it's just not reasonable.
Hold on.
Everybody's going to have a bad night.
Tony Allen is playing defense. What a lot of people in the league don't play. Tony Allen is an underrated defender.
It's a lot of people that's underrated.
He is, you know, Kevin Durant, he is going to score his points. Man,
even on a bad night, he's going to get his.
Yeah, on a bad night, and we should expect so much out of Durant. Like, if Durant had 25, we'd just be like, oh, that's a bad night. You know, because we expect so much from him. It's just one of those, you know, these things where you just had a bad night, he's frustrated, this is the playoff. And, you know, when you in the playoff, things – think the defense, it gets turned up a notch. So I like to see how this plays out in the long run. I do believe Kevin Durant, he has a statement to make. I think he's a strong candidate for MVP this year. The good thing about the Thunder is Reggie Jackson's been contributed, which is, you know, he's a great talent coming off the bench.
Yeah, you had 32, right?
Yeah, he has 32.
He kept him in there, that's for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, if the Thunder lose, they're going to blame it. All the fingers are pointing at Durant.
Of course, well, that's the good and the bad of being the star of the team. When they're doing good, you get the congratulations. And when they're doing bad, it's all your fault. So that's just what you have to take when you're the superstar.
Oh, boy. And you're absolutely right. Now, last but not least, Clippers in the Warriors. Williams, Seth Curry, not that. Shout out to Seth Curry, Charlotte native, his brother, Stephen Curry, putting the life out of the town, definitely taking advantage of the situation. But the situation is not only taking but the whole Warriors team taking advantage of a situation where there's a turmoil for the Clippers organization. Donald Sterling, shoulders too covered. Saying in his very much of the month, saying that he will never work. African American showing that tickets. Law in the city of Los Angeles.
Kid to go to school with black people. I don't want, you know, my children to play with black people, whatever. And they'll say, but I'm not racist. I'm just surprised at the fact that people are still getting caught saying crazy stuff. We live in a world where there's no more privacy. Social media canceled that out a long time ago. Everybody's being recorded by video, recorded on their phone, tablets, whatever. So I'm just surprised that he was stupid enough to even say that stuff and think that it would not get out. And then the fact that people want CP3 and the team to boycott the games. Listen, I'm all for black power and standing up for what's right or wrong. But to really ask these men, this is their job. Now, I know they do their shirts in the middle of the court and practice in just plain T-shirt the last day, and that was their little protest, and I'm cool with that. But people are really dogging them out because they won't boycott the games. That's their job. And let's be honest, how many people really know how their bosses feel about this? Like, and so you work at GM or wherever, and you find out your boss is a racist and he said he hates black people. Are you really going to not show up for work on Monday? No, you're going to be at work because you need that paycheck. So it's the same for them. Yes, they make more money, but I don't feel like people should be attacking that the players for showing up and playing. I think that's a bit harsh on the players' behalf.
From the dynamic that I'm reading in different articles, I think people were protesting about coming to the game, just, hey, nobody show up for game four.
And I get that. But I've read a lot, especially a lot of people were tweeting CP3 saying, y'all shouldn't show up, and if y'all show up, y'all don't support black people. And, I mean, it was just, I think that's a bit much to put that amount of pressure and responsibility on the team when this is their job. This is the playoffs. Like,
yeah.
let's be reasonable here. This is the playoffs. To me, I feel like you're making Donald more important than what he is. I understand when you say it was wrong, but these men have worked their whole lives to get to this point. Why let one ignorant person mess up their playoff chances? Because if they all, that's a forfeit. They lost that game. Like, so there's no coming back from that. So, yes, I applaud them for taking off their logos or whatever and playing in the red, playing red shirts or whatever and doing their part. But I think we as the people need to take more responsibility and not show up for the game. I think that's more reasonable than asking the players not to play.
You know what? If you paid $200-something for a ticket, would you not go to the game?
No, I wouldn't. I would eat that.
Cool.
Because of the thing, I feel like you can take our money, but you don't want our presence. So if I couldn't get a refund, I'd just have to eat that.
You know what? I can definitely understand.
And I would definitely not purchase any more tickets from him.
Well, you know what? Donald Sterling has a habit of being ignorant as far as the Clippers are concerned. And the reason why he said this, it makes no... I mean, I didn't justify the comment at all. You're never supposed to make a comment like that. Especially if your star players, Doc Rivers, your head coach is black. Your star players, who you're paying millions of dollars to, are black. The people that are supporting the franchise, because mind you, the Clippers used to suck bad. Yes. They used only loyal Clipper fan I know. It's Billy Crystal. It's this shit. He, through thick and thin, he has been there. He is the only loyal Clipper fan I know. And at the time now where the Clippers are becoming more of the dominant team in L.A., because it's been the Lakers for so many years, for him to go out and say this, to say this, is beyond reason. Because not only did he piss people off in the franchise, but now other potential free agents, such as a Carmelo Anthony, who had interest of playing with the CP3, possibly LeBron James, because him and CP3 are great friends, now you just turned everybody off.
And I also read that some sponsors were pulling away from them. I don't know how true that is, but nobody wants to be associated with that type of foolishness. So, I mean, it's damaging to him, period, all across the board. Whether people boycott the games or not, it's damaging to him. And I just feel like as an individual, as a fan of the Clippers, whoever that might be, you do what you feel is personally right. If it doesn't bother you, then it doesn't bother you. If it does, you want to boycott, boycott. But don't put your beliefs or what you want on the players or on other people. I just feel like each person should deal with the situation how they see fit for them.
Oh, definitely. Lakers fans, you're getting the city of L.A. back quicker than you think. Just because someone else decided to be that stupid. But we're going to go there to this musical break, and when we come back, I got a wonderful guest coming from Charlotte, North Carolina. Tanya Pfeiffer, and the CEO of the women's basketball team, Charlotte Invasion. We're going to have her on tour. We're going to talk with her. We're going to see how she's going to bring women's basketball back to Charlotte. And we're going to find out some other things. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. Before I go any further, I want to thank the wonderful people of Shadow Worlds Radio Network. If it wasn't for them, it wouldn't be this platform for you to go ahead and let your voices be heard by the whole world. The Every Woman Talk Show, every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., and you can listen to the Man Up Talk Show every Friday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Two wonderful shows that's on the network as well. Definitely support their movement. Everybody on the Shadow Worlds Radio Network is doing big things. It's making that progress. Now, without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and introduce the owner and CEO of the Charlotte Invasion, Tonya Pfeiffer.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How's everything going with you?
Everything is going well.
Going well. Is your team in the playoffs?
Don't have a team in the NBA.
Are you a Cavaliers fan too?
not even close. I like players in the NBA. I'm more of an NFL fan, so Carolina Panthers is my team. But as far as the NBA, I like players. I like all your superstar players, but no favorite organization. I guess I'll be following, jumping in behind the Hornets next year.
Oh, wow, that's good. That's good.
It's nostalgic for me.
I can understand. You're definitely Charlotte, born, raised, educated, top five in scoring at Charlotte Latin and UNC Charlotte, and now you are a owner of a basketball team. What made you want to become an owner?
I can honestly say, you know, I wasn't out there searching for this opportunity. Never had an interest in coaching, so the natural progression, you know, was to bring opportunity by way of a basketball or a women's basketball organization to Charlotte. I just kind of combined my passion. I've owned several businesses over the past years, and owning the Charlotte Invasion combines my passion of grassroots projects and my love for basketball. So it's kind of, you know, a match made in heaven.
Okay, okay. Now, what is your vision for women's basketball?
For women's basketball, it's a lot about empowerment. You know, it's a lot about building confidence, you know, in girls, you know, as they grow into women. My vision here with the Charlotte Invasion, I have a real passion to grow the community ties between Charlotte Invasion and the city. We're looking, you know, to fill that void of professional basketball that left when we lost the Charlotte Steam. And we're also looking to bring the championship back to Charlotte as soon as possible.
Yeah, winning cures all. I can definitely understand that, Charlotte.
Yeah, it does.
We need a championship somehow. Basketball,
yeah, exactly.
Football, hockey, Charlotte Knights. I don't care. Little League, UNC, Charlotte, whoever. Whoever can get the job done. We need a championship.
We do.
How are you able to make the transition from being a former player to an owner/CEO of a basketball organization?
Well, first and foremost, I've been out of the game as a player for many years, so this transition was not that difficult. You know, it goes back to, you know, how we started the conversation here tonight, you know, in that being a business owner, it has been a natural progression of motivating my staff, finding the right talent, you know, whether it's on the court or off the court. You know, I do kind of feel I have a niche for those things. So it was a natural progression. And what I'm most excited about is being able to use my business acumen to pull everyone together for something that I loved, you know, since I was a little girl, you know, playing basketball or what have you. So basketball means a lot to myself. Basketball means a lot to my family. as well. We're a very athletic family. You know, so it, again, it was real natural, real fluid going into this new endeavor with the Charlotte Invasion.
Okay, hey, Ms. Tanya, I have a question for you. What is your blueprint for running a successful basketball organization?
The blueprint starts, I think, first and foremost, I have to believe in what I'm putting my name behind, and I believe in this, you know, 110%. And then, you know, before we ever had a basketball player, you know, we were just a business, you know, operating to build this starting October of last year, and it was finding, handpicking the right people, you know, and calling up former players, former teammates of mine, you know, and telling them what I had going on and some thoughts that I had, and then seeing if they wanted to be a part of it. You know, how the opportunity was brought to me was from a former UNCC basketball player who coaches on the high school level. And she coached another organization within the same league, and she thought she had the grand idea, why doesn't Charlotte have a team? Well, we've done business in the past. My investigative company, you know, conducted investigations for an insurance company that she worked for, and I did presentations at her, you know, at her business, and she took note again of that business acumen. So the two, you know, the two went well together. So finding the right people, you know, the most talented people, the most dedicated, you know, people. I have a dedicated staff. I have a director of marketing, Alexis Davis, who everything you see Charlotte Invasion, she has, you know, it's her vision. From the logo to our website, it's all her vision. I have a dedicated director of sales, Tiffany Hoey. Tiffany and I played ball together at UNCC, and Tiffany's in the community. Tiffany runs her family business, and she's a part of the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce, plus, you know, in communication with a lot of other small businesses throughout the city, and she's working on sponsorship and again, tying us into the community. Our head coach, Charlita Joseph, is exceptional with the women, with the players. Very motivating, knows her X's and O's. You know, we're going to have to get a little creative, but she's up for the challenge, you know, with this being our first year. Our general manager is Travis Holmes. Travis is a graduate of Virginia Military Institute. Travis is actually my cousin, and he's a graduate of VMI. And, you know, he's getting his feet wet, you know, as a business and economic major. He's getting his feet wet in operating the business that is the Charlotte Invasion. So finding the right people was key, and that started back in 2013. And with that said, you know, all of us, and forgive me if I've left anyone out, but all of us, you know, are pulling and attracting some great women, some talented women, to start off this inaugural season.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. Another question is, what is your opinion on the stereotypes that women's basketball lacks entertainment and athleticism?
Well, I shun that opinion. First and foremost, I shun that opinion. You know, anyone who watches, let's just talk basketball, period. Anyone who watches basketball with a discerning eye, now let's go back to, let's include women's basketball in there. Anyone who watches basketball with a discerning eye, you witness athleticism and entertainment in the team concept. Doesn't matter whether it's men playing, women playing, boys playing, girls playing. The team concept and how all five players are moving around and completing intricate schemes and everything. 2 points is 2 points. Whether it's a dunk or a smooth backdoor layup, you know, from the women's side of the game, from the women's side of the game. It's only 2 points. Neither is of greater value. So with the women's side of basketball, it's just as entertaining, and the women are just as athletic below the rim.
And definitely, I agree with you. From what I understand, you're pretty competitive. And your cousin, that's the general manager, very competitive. So I just, in a game of one-on-one between you and the general and the general manager, who's going to win? Travis, I know you're listening right now, my man. This is the answer.
A game of horse, I can beat him, but Travis is 6'4".
Oh,
a game of horse? Yeah. Now,
game
here's,
of horse.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Growing up, we were raised, you know, as brothers and sisters, and growing up, I babysat Travis and his twin brother, Chavis, and his little sister, Kendria Holmes. And once they hit that growth spurt, well, let's say before that growth spurt, we were in the backyard, and I was giving it to them. The minute they hit the growth spurt, I stopped playing them. So they never beat me.
Oh.
And that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. They have never beat me since, ever.
So you stopped playing when it got a little rough.
Yeah, when they got a little tall.
Smart. You can't knock her. That's smart.
Yeah, I'm undefeated.
No.
I'm undefeated against every member of my family.
Sometimes you got to know when to bow out gracefully.
There you go. That's why we own the team now. We're not still out there trying to play.
You know what? That's wrong. That's wrong. Oh, man, that's wrong.
That's smart.
Ms. Pfeiffer, how important is it for you to come back home and build this platform for the female players in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the surrounding areas as well?
It's well overdue. It's well overdue. I can be honest and say, you know, I've never given back to the game. You know, once my career was over, I went in, you know, into my career and then into business for myself. Again, you know, like I started at the top of the show, never had a passion to coach, you know, never felt like there was a void missing, you know, and never felt like I had a void inside of me because I didn't want to coach. You know, I've had opportunities to coach high schools. I've had opportunities to coach AAU. It's just never been in me. However, when this opportunity came, you know, I jumped at it. You know, I played high school basketball at Charlotte Latin. You know, then I stayed home and played college basketball, you know, at UNCC. And I'm thrilled to finally give back, to finally find, you know, my niche, to be able to give back to basketball. You know, I have a bunch of girlfriends, and I'm probably the only one, you know, without student loans. And that's a blessing because of basketball. You know, all of my friends are playing, you know, other than my former teammates or things like that, all of my friends, you know, are paying back student loans or what have you. And I don't take that, you know, for granted when we're talking in our small circles or when we're out, you know, having dinner or just hanging out or what have you. I don't take that for granted, you know, and I give all of the credit, you know, to the game of basketball. So giving these women, you know, an opportunity, we have 13 women on the team now, giving these 13 women, you know, the opportunity, you know, to further their career, you know, to play, you know, overseas if that's what they want to do, to get a look, you know, possibly in the WNBA, you know, that's what I'm excited about, giving these women the opportunities that may not have been there, you know, when I came out some odd years ago.
Wow, that's amazing. And now your team is in an association called the WBCBL. What is the WBCBL all about?
Yeah. CBL stands for the Women's Blue Chip Basketball League. It's been in existence, I want to say, maybe 11 years. Possibly maybe about 34 teams competing this season throughout the country. What the WBCBL represents, you know, we've aligned our vision and our mission with the Charlotte Invasion, with the WBCBL. Again, with, you know, empowering women, community ties, you know, taking these women, you know, and giving them the opportunity to get new film, footage, to get new stats, you know, to further their career, professionally, you know, to play beyond just amateur sports. It's all about giving, making opportunities, you know, making opportunities for women who dedicate their summer. You know, these women have jobs, these women have children, you know, these women have families, other commitments, but they dedicate their summer to the WBCBL because they're still, you know, they still have a goal of to fulfill their passion for basketball, and that's possibly play on, you know, again in the WNBA or in the EuroLeague.
Wow. Now, this is probably the toughest question of the night. Do you ever feel the need as you watch practice to go ahead, lace up your shoes, get back on the court, and let everybody know you still got it?
Absolutely not. I have promised my team that before the end of the season, I'll go up and down with them, you know, maybe a game of seven or so. And in promising that, why did I step back on the court 3 weeks ago for the first time in 2 years?
So I'm playing, you know,
I don't even want to say where I'm because I don't want anybody to show up or anything, but I'm playing on a certain night, you know, every week at a certain location with some certain people, you know, trying
well,
to get in shape
know,
for
I
this
know
game.
This information so I can
oh.
Don't hold out on the goodies, man. You know what I'm saying? Let us know. It's an undisclosed location. You know, just to see that happen.
And that's just why I'm not mentioning where I'm playing.
Well, you can just tell me after the show. Ain't nobody got to know. Just let me know.
Okay, all right. We'll see about that. Don't hold your breath. But, no, I don't.
Oh,
you know, I really and truly don't, you know. I look better and I sound more credible when I just talk to them and not when they see me out there making some of the same mistakes they may make.
Oh,
so I'm
trying
to keep credibility intact.
It's all right, because TK, she's just only going to play you in a game of horse. That's it.
I haven't played basketball in forever, so you know I ain't getting out there lacing up my night. Get that.
Hey, but we want you all to be out as fans, though. We want now, if I throw you a uniform, then you just go with it.
If I go out there, you got to go out there with me.
You know what? I'll make that deal with you.
All right, cool. We can do that.
You will lose your team.
But I can beat you, though. So, what, Trey, you know I can beat you. I have
and that's
beat
all that
you.
Matters.
Don't even try me.
I shot the ball with my feet.
Oh, you're such a liar.
Wow.
We will definitely come and support the team, definitely. I don't
Great.
Want to see no uniforms handing out to me, but I will definitely come and support what you got going on in Charlotte.
Hey, look here, we got great news. Just maybe an hour and a half before our interview here tonight, we're partnering with Mecklenburg County Park and Rec, and we have secured a contract with the county to make Beatty Ray Thomas Rec Center our home gym, and that's at 2921 Tuckasegee Road here in Charlotte, and that's where all of our home games will be played 1 p.m. on Saturdays.
Oh, wow.
We'll definitely come check you out, definitely.
Thank you. And congratulations to, you know, Charlotte Mecklenburg, Park and Rec. Y'all doing big things. I see it already.
Yeah.
What upcoming events that the Charlotte Invasion has, like future tryouts, community events, or anything like that?
Yeah, we have most current Thursday, we're doing an After 5 marketing ploy downtown. We're going to be at the corner of Trade and Tryon, Center City. We're doing a photo shoot with a couple of our players. I think we're going to have about four players available, you know, to meet the city on this Thursday at 5 p.m. Going to have the photo shoot going. We're going to be passing out, you know, some media information to include our schedule. We're going to be selling some raffle tickets. I think last I heard we're possibly going to be raffling off a television. So we're going to be downtown this Thursday, 5 p.m., at the corner of Trade and Tryon, introducing the Charlotte Invasion to the city.
Okay. That's great. And then any other events like tryouts?
Yeah. We have we open up the season on Friday down in South Carolina, in Greenville, South Carolina, against the South Carolina Storm. We're excited about that. When we return home Saturday between 10 and 12 p.m., we're hosting another free agent tryout, looking for, you know, one or two more key pieces that we're looking, you know, to solidify our roster. That'll be over at Friends Boys and Girls Club. I believe that address is 2600 West Trade Street, I believe, here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Again, that the next tryout will be this Saturday, May the 3rd, between 10 and 12 at Fran Boys and Girls Club. And all of this information can be found on our website at www.charlotteinvasion.com.
Okay, then. Well, thank you very, very much, Ms. Pfeiffer, for not only bringing yourself, but introducing the Charlotte Invasion as well. Best of blessings to you and your team this season. I'll be out there, all the Charlotte will be out there supporting your team. All you women out there in Charlotte and the surrounding areas that want to make your dream come true, come along, come right down here in 704. Support. It's great. Great dynamic, great team, great organization. Definitely, hey, be a part of a winning organization in the long run.
That's what
thank
we're looking
for. Thank you very much,
Michael. No, thank you for having me.
No problem. Now, before I leave, because I got 2 minutes left, this is probably the most exciting part of the show. Follow me on Twitter, at GameStrong3D. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, at GameStrong3D. For you people that can't spell, at sign GameStrong, the number 3 and the letter D, GameStrong3D, and definitely support my GameStrong Facebook page, like us on Facebook, GameStrong Sports Talk Show. Thank you very much. It's been real. CK, you got anything to say?
Got to give a shout-out to Nate. She wanted us to say that Ray Allen was the best NBA player. That's funny. But thank you, Game Strong, for having me again in Shadow World Network. I appreciate it. Everybody have a good night.
Whoa, Ray Allen.
That's what Nate told me. I'm just telling you what she told me.
Game Strong people, I will be here next week. Because I did not say this outrageous mess. Come check us back out next Monday, 8 o'clock. Follow me on Twitter, at GameStrong3D. I love y'all. Have a good night.
Good night.
I appreciate smart. But you gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
Right about now, I know y'all digging this, so just turn up your radio wherever you at. We about to bring it.
Let's say thanks a lot for joining me here on the Game Strong Sports Talk Show. Another Monday night.
All right, everybody.
This jack of ball, man.
Want to play a game? Okay. I'll play with it.